Microsoft Teams is helping a bicycle company reinvent the way that they work.
We make low-maintenance bicycles for everyday riders. Once the pandemic hit, we had nobody coming into the showroom, so we started doing virtual visits via Microsoft Teams.
We're able to see two or threefold the amount of customers we used to be able to see. All of a sudden, we could open up our showroom to customers around the world. I really think it's going to set a standard for retail moving forward.
Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Welcome to the RotoWire DFS podcast. Derek Van Riper here with Todd Zola. It is Monday, El Ocho, Del Mayo, Day Mayo, Del Mayo. Anyway.
Let the 8th be with you.
Yeah, May 8th. People don't have any cute holidays that I know about for today. It's a Monday. Got 10 games that are supposed to happen. Maybe only 9 will actually happen because the threat of rain and possibly tornadoes in the Denver area could cause the Cubs-Rockies game to go away. And you know, before we started recording, Todd, you were kind of lamenting the fact that we would lose something from a game theory perspective if, in fact, we do lose the Rockies-Cubs matchup. Of course, the Cubs and Yankees played an 18-inning game at Wrigley Sunday night, which really complicates matters for the Yankees and Cubs today as both teams are on the road kicking off series. Really, for the Cubs, the best possible thing that could happen to them is not having to play tonight.
Yeah, well, they had area to schedule. The point I was making, something, especially because he has a platoon edge, you know, we could have been sure that it was a Montero game, and you can fairly certainly click in Montero at catcher. Sometimes you get that edge using a player at a late game when lineup lock isn't out, especially in tournament play. So it's still, considering we're talking a tournament, you know, if you're using Montero at catcher against Sensatella, it's still an interesting tournament play, but this isn't. This looks more than it might not play. This looks like it really might not play. So I don't think I'm going to go down that road.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to have a lot built around that Coors game as a result of this either, kind of looking in the mindset that it's canceled. And if it's not, then we can make some adjustments pre-lock to take advantage accordingly. But I feel like the value is really on the Colorado side. You know, Arrieta's going for the Cubs, but he hasn't pitched that well. He pinch hit last night, so it's not like he's been sitting in Colorado for an extra day or two, getting used to the altitude and preparing for the start. He was with his teammates, so I think that kind of works against him as well. And Colorado, I believe, was home all weekend, too, so it's not the first game back at Coors for them.
Yep.
So I imagine that's where the interest will be if that game goes off. Now, if you look at the FanDuel pricing for today, it's Jake DeGrom kind of off on his own with a five-figure price tag, $10,700. You get four pitchers in the $9,000 range, Stroman, Tanaka, and Martinez between $9,200 and $9,500 respectively. Two of them are on the road, Martinez and Tanaka. Stroman's at home against the Indians, which we don't really like. Plus, he left with general soreness in his last start. So I think it comes down to this. Is it a play or fade on Jake DeGrom tonight, Todd? I mean, in cash especially, I'm not seeing a lot that I like near the top of the price list that I would actually consider in his place.
Yeah, he's my cash guy, no doubt, tonight. There are a few, actually, on a shorter slate, there are a couple of interesting GPP plays. But yeah, cash, it's DeGrom. San Francisco not hitting very well. Their already depleted outfield is more depleted. So I see no issue at all using Jacob DeGrom in cash, even at that price. There's soft enough pricing elsewhere to find some hitters.
Absolutely. Now, if you're thinking more in terms of tournaments, and a lot of the listeners out there do, and I certainly play my share of tournaments as well, is Carlos Martinez against Miami a good enough spot where, you know, he's road, so maybe that makes him a little lower owned? Miami has a good offense that can do some damage, but Martinez, when he's pitching well, can quiet a good offense. And, you know, you kind of look at that as a win probability thing that might be pretty good too. The Cardinals are road favorites at -125 since Adam Conley has the ball for the Marlins. So where would you go in GPPs, either to the next trio in the 9,000 range, or do you go a bit cheaper than that before you start to find a pitcher you like for tournaments?
I don't know if we're jumping the gun here, but since you talked about Martinez, I'm probably going to, I mean, I don't mind going at all to Adam Conley. The Cardinals are weak they're anemic against lefty pitching. Now, granted, Conley's not a very good lefty pitcher, but on a shorter slate, I kind of like to take these chances of this nature, and it's even shorter without the Colorado game, and it takes those bats out of play. I don't mind at all going for Conley. Now, Martinez, this is sort of a hedge game. You could do a one lineup with each, but if I'm just doing one GPP go for it lineup, I'm going Conley and Sticks.
Interesting. I don't think Conley cracked my top five pitchers when I was working on the XM slate.
Look,
kind of breakdown for
look
this.
Look what St. Louis does against lefties. It's bad.
It's very bad. it's not as bad as what the Royals do against lefties. And Blake Snell, I mean, maybe it's because I have him in our AL-only league, but I'm always nervous about Blake Snell, even if the matchup looks great. And this matchup looks great. The Royals are bad overall offensively. They're the worst team in the big leagues and just overall WOBA. But they're the worst by far against lefties, too. And they strike out more against lefties than they do against righties, at least when they've faced lefties this year, which, in fairness, isn't a lot. I mean, are we at a point where you really can buy all the way into a team's struggles or success against left-handed pitching since it's so early in the year still?
Yeah, that's the thing. Lefty, the slice of data against left-handed pitching is so small. Besides, if you take a look at the schedule, some of these teams don't face lefties for 5, 6, 7 days. Now, that actually could be an advantage, I think, at times, especially, you know, you mentioned the Royals. They're, you know, other than Kane, their strength is from the left side. I don't want to use Gordon, but with Moustakas and in theory Hosmer, but the Snell, it's just the walks. He's his own worst enemy. You know, the other side of that matchup, Nate Cairns is a good play with all the strikeouts in Tampa. Tampa's weird. Some teams, you know, you mentioned strikeouts against lefties. Some teams strike out more against one side than the other. Tampa strikes out against everybody this year. So, you know, you don't have to try to remember when to use Tampa or when to use the pitcher against them. You can use, you know, any pitcher against them because they're striking out left and right. So Cairns is another interesting play, especially, you know, the whole game theory aspect. The two pitchers you came up with were the two that I came up with on the other end, which just tells you on ownership levels, you know, there's a good chance. And I don't want to say we're both right, but that's the point being, that's what you look for in GPP, are sort of contrary things. So if you feel people will be on Snell, I feel people will be on Cairns, their respective ownerships will be relatively low, which is hard to find on a smaller slate.
Right, and I think it's going to be, you know, a good concentration of DeGrom and cash, even a fair amount of DeGrom in GPPs if the Brewers game's not going to happen, because the best case for not using DeGrom is exposure to Coors. If there's no Coors, then you kind of recycle back to the top of the board. Cairns Snell, I think, can be a pretty chalky GPP mindset. But I wonder if the ownership gets split up kind of evenly between those two. Trevor Cahill, 7.5 is the over-under in San Diego. It's the same as the over-under in Tampa for Cairns and Snell. Nick Martinez has the ball for the Rangers. One of the listeners of the XM show threw Martinez's name out there as a value play for tonight. I couldn't justify it. I know the Padres strike out a lot in San Diego, of course, as we know, it destroys left-handed power, but I couldn't come to a conclusion where I felt good about Nick Martinez as the cheap pitcher that you could use for GPPs.
Well, you can almost, I don't want to say throw it out the window, but you can almost throw analysis out the window at GPP. At $4,500, you can stick in almost any bat that you want. The problem, however, is on this slate, unless you want to go Washington against Gausman, which is perfectly reasonable, I don't know that you need to go that cheap on pitching to fit in the hitters, especially with Coors out of the question. I think you can get a pretty decent array of expensive bats or good bats without having to go down to Martinez. So maybe on a different slate, I may agree. And if that's how he's looking to get complete differentiation, okay, sure. But I, you know, that's part of the GPP. I'm a model guy. I plug this thing into my model. He doesn't come up very high. Well, that might be a reason to use him in a GPP. You can come up with a narrative over the model where it works.
I love narrative. It's always good. Alex Wood is now going to start today for the Dodgers. It was previously Brandon McCarthy. He gets a home start against the Pirates, and I'm a bit curious. I mean, Trevor Williams is going for Pittsburgh. It's a matchup that you have to like Dodgers bats in. We'll talk about them, at least for cash. GPPs, mm-hmm. they might be a bit chalky. But Alex Wood as an option against the Pirates, does the model like him in tournaments, even though he rarely gets deep into his starts? Like, I have a hard time envisioning a scenario in which Alex Wood throws more than like 95 pitches. So with that,
yeah,
it's pretty surprising if he gets through more than six innings.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's tough because, I mean, part of using these models, I mean, again, it's against a lefty, and recently Pittsburgh has fared poorly against lefties, but if you sort of, I kind of use a rolling year's worth of data to get some more in, but of course I'm bringing in, at this point, 5 months of a different team. They don't have Marte, obviously. So yeah, it GPP, I don't mind Wood. I look at the bullpen too, because when you're not racking up those Ks in innings, you try not to worry about the win, but you know, it's important when you can't count on whiffs and you can't count on innings. And Los Angeles does have the bullpen necessary to back up Wood and get the win and keep that in house. That's one reason I kind of like Miami a little bit, even though they're not a known bullpen. The Marlins bullpen's pretty good, which to me helps out Connelly a little bit more than I trust the Tampa bullpen at this point with Snell. But anyway, sure. I mean, Wood isn't my. There's guys I like more, but I'm not going to argue anybody who likes Alex Wood and GPP.
But then one last pitching related question before we move on to the bats. I mean, where are you at right now with Trevor Cahill and what he's shown us through his first five starts? Well over a strikeout per inning, doing it with control, keeping the ball in the park so far. Do you think this is legit? I mean, there seems to be a lot more strikeout upside here than I had thought was even possible coming into the year.
Yeah, I do. I'm buying into Cahill. You know, there's so many pitchers that are changing. I forget the exact aspect of what it is I like about Cahill. I know Matt Cain is using his two seamer more than his four seamer. I forget what it is about Cahill that I like. His strikeouts are backed by a higher swinging strike, which is good. I don't know whether I don't think he'll keep 11 Ks per nine going. I do like him against Texas without the designated hitter. They're short a designated hitter. It doesn't mean they're sitting like a David Ortiz or anything, but any time that a strong American League team goes to a National League park, I do like that. So Cahill is sort of my, if there's such a thing as a pivot in cash, he would be it. Although that's, you know, definition of cash is use your best guy. If for some reason DeGrom doesn't pitch, he's a Yank, he's a Met. I guess there's a 50-50 chance he doesn't happen. Then Cahill would be my guy.
Right. He might be suspended for reasons we won't find out about, or he might just break for no reason. But the rolling past calendar year stats that I like to look at for starting pitching, I mean, they love DeGrom compared to the field. And it's understandable, just given that it's a lot of back-end type starters.
The thing you mentioned DeGrom for tournaments. The only problem I have is San Francisco doesn't strike out that much. And at that price, I mean, I want strikeouts. So I don't care as much about him in cash. I want innings and stability in cash. I don't know that he has a strikeout upside against the Giants to use in a tournament. But, you know, I do think he's the safest player on the board tonight.
Does that make Tanaka kind of like a contrarian GPP play? Because his K rate's a little bit low for a higher-end pitcher, but Cincinnati, you know, they've got some swing and miss in the lineup, not a ton. It's the hitter-friendly environment for home runs, but not for runs overall. And somehow, he almost feels like the forgotten good arm going tonight.
Yeah, Cincinnati sort of mirrors his own, you know, Yankee Stadium in that regard. It's giving up homers, but not giving up a lot of runs because the fly balls are caught. The Yankees are scoring left and right. There's another Cincinnati. I'd almost want to wait to see what lineup comes out, and if not that the Yankees have a ton of reserves that they can use, I'd almost want to see what they're using for in the outfield, especially because that's where their strength is with Ellsbury and Gardner both swinging the bat pretty well, to see what they're going in that regard against, you know, you'd like them in there against Rookie Davis. So if Yankees are going with their regular lineup, I don't mind them at all against using Tanaka. So that would be, to me, that's sort of a wait for the lineup to come out call.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And Stroman, if I didn't make it clear before, he's just an absolute wait and see for DFS. I mean, he left his last start with general arm soreness after three innings. I don't like that at all. And he's home against Cleveland. Indians can put plenty of runs on the board. Why even risk it at that point?
Yeah.
As far as the bats go, stack-wise, who do you think is the most stackable offense, or at least which pitcher are you trying to pick on the most? I mean, you mentioned the Nats as a possible pricey stack or pricey group before. Over-under's 9. Gossman's been bad. And I can't quite diagnose Gossman, but that game and Yankees-Reds have the two highest over-unders on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I would go. And the caveat with the Yankees is, of course, the lineup. What are they going to put out there with having played 18 innings last night? I mean, the fact that they won probably helps a bit. helps your psyche a bit anyway. So that's where I would want to go. The Yankees against Rookie Davis and Washington. Yeah, Gossman, you mentioned, it's hard to figure. His velocity is fine. His pitch, I mean, everything, line drive rate, hard hit rate, everything is fine except walks and, well, throwing strikes. He can't locate. He can't throw strikes. Is that is he tipping pitches? Is it mechanical? I don't know. I'd like to think if it's mechanical, they can fix it. So, this is DFS. It's not like you can sit on him. You just don't start him. But the second I see more, it's in DFS, the second I see a game where he's back up to 65% strikes, I'm using him because he's going to be priced low. This is not that game.
Yeah, you don't need to be that far ahead of the curve because if he has one good start, some ownership will creep up, but not enough to the point where you're going to be missing out.
This is not that game. Yeah, it is tough. This is a night where I don't know that I go a full-on stack. I look for either, mini stacks of a pair of players. On FanDuel, you're kind of limited, to four anyway. So it's not as if you can go all out. But this is I'll look for pairs of hitters tonight and not necessarily try to go three or four in one team.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I want some exposure to Yankees-Reds, at least some exposure to Trevor Williams with Dodgers.
Yeah,
and then from there it is kind of more of like a mix and match. Where am I getting value? What are my needs? And the key is going to be just seeing what that Yankees lineup looks like, because a lot of the value I think is going to hinge on just how cheap they go, how many backups they tuck in.
Yeah, the Dodgers is a good call because it's probably going to be a bullpen brigade, a Bucks bullpen brigade. Alliteration is so much easier to write than it is to say.
Bucks bullpen brigade.
Yes.
I got it. I got this one.
All right.
Let's go position by position, talk about some players we like from a value standpoint on FanDuel. If he's in the lineup, and we'll know probably by the time people are listening, if Gary Sanchez is in, there's a pretty clear case to be made to use him going up against Rookie Davis in Cincinnati today. The other catcher I was thinking about is Jonathan Lucroy against Cahill, but I think I like Cahill enough where I'm probably more likely to use Cahill in a tournament than I am to make Lucroy my catcher.
Yeah, Lucroy's at that point where he's going to bounce back. He's hitting down in the order, and actually he's in an NL park, so I'm not exactly sure if he's hitting eighth. That would be weird. You walk, I think you do walk him if he's hitting eighth. Let's see where they sit him. I know I mentioned Conley before, but I don't mind using Yadi at $3,000 against Conley with the platoon edge, and he hits a little bit higher in the order than a lot of catchers, so I don't mind using Yadier Molina this evening. But the other one, if it wasn't for the rain, you got the Miguel Montero against Sensatella matchup there because you're pretty sure he's going to play. Short of that, there's not a ton out there for the value. You just, if you want to pay for a good, maybe Salvador Perez against Blake Snell at 2,900.
I'd go Grandal, I think, over Lucroy, the more I think about it. I like Grandal today as part of a Dodgers combo, if not a full Dodgers stack, because it's a question of Bellinger and Seager. Can you play all three with Grandal? Mm-hmm. Maybe not. Like, I think Grandal's in the mix, though, too, because he's very fairly priced at 2,900. Looking at first base, of course, plenty of quality options there, even on a 10 or even a 9-game slate if Colorado gets rained out. Encarnacion, if you want narrative, Edwin Encarnacion is going back to Toronto. It's Marcus Stroman today. We know Stroman gets a lot of ground balls. The price is down at 3,100. I think the thing that's really encouraging, if you're at least thinking about him in GPPs, over the weekend, no strikeouts, couple of walks,
yeah,
at least one hit in each of those three games in Kansas City, maybe after a brutal April, Edwin Encarnacion is starting to settle in a little bit.
Yeah, as long as the Parrot has his passport in order, I think that's fine. That, you know, that to me is a GPP play. Mentioned Gausman before. I like, you know, the whole, you know, Ryan Zimmerman's on fire. It's the same handedness, but Adam Lind will probably be DHing. So at 3,000, Adam Lind against Kevin Gausman. And, you know, Lynn's familiar with the not that you need to be familiar with Camden Yards to hit well there, because I think you and I can hit well there. But he has been in the ballpark before. So Lind is a player I'm looking at to go against Gausman as well at first base.
Yeah, I do like Adam Lind tonight. You know, Votto against Tanaka has got a GPP twist to it, but 4,500 is a lot for a GPP contrarian sort of move. So I wouldn't go quite that far.
If you're using one of the cheaper pitchers, that's you don't have to be chalk every. I'm sorry, you don't have to be contrarian everywhere. So if you're using one of the cheaper pitchers, you can use a Votto and take, you know, the home run aspect of Tanaka. Like we said, he may not give up eight runs, he may give up three runs, but two of them may be on home runs to Votto.
Yeah, exactly. Moving over to second base, and it's amazing. If you can call that, like, two home runs, two solo homers to Votto, and you've got Votto, you know things are going really well.
Yeah.
Neil Walker smashed lefties last year, and that's an outlier for him.
Right, exactly.
He's 3,200. City Field boosts up power for right-handed hitters, and Matt Moore is a train wreck away from San Francisco. The pieces are there. The indicators kind of point towards Neil Walker, you know, if last year is any indication that he's done some things on the right side of the plate that are at all sustainable, that he'd be kind of useful at 3,200 tonight.
Yeah, I just realized I'm going to have to rely on you for prices, because I did my work, but I didn't dump in today's prices. You got me as a last minute fill-in, so I looked at I forgot to dump in today's prices. So I'm going to don't listen to my prices, listen to DVR's prices, but my analysis is okay. Yeah, I like Walker a lot. It's because it's Matt Moore. If it was against a different lefty, I don't necessarily like him a lot. But I'm not. If people are worried about the historical success against lefties, and it happened to be better last year, I'm okay with Walker. There's a couple other guys. Actually, Walker's probably a decent cash play. There's just not a lot out there at second base tonight, even with my wrong prices.
Oh, it's ugly. I mean, Devin Travis is 2,100. I keep waiting for the big turnaround from him. Just one hit over the three games in Tampa Bay. They keep trotting him out there. And at that price, that opens up a lot of flexibility elsewhere. If you are paying up for DeGrom or one of those $9,000 pitchers, you know, $2,100 Devin Travis at a position that's pretty light really kind of offsets that.
Yeah, in cash, I don't like it. Power will walk people, which helps. It kind of gives you a floor. Travis isn't overly patient, but he probably will be hitting down at the bottom of the order. You know, I wish I didn't have to choose between Solarte and Schimpf against Martinez, talking back to Texas again. That, you know, that's not a terrible little mini stack or stack is out there in San Diego going against Nick Martinez. With Solarte and Schimpf, you can only use one of them. And the other, I don't know if it'll be chalk or not. We talked Cahill a little bit, but I think people will be on Rougned Odor out in there and that game on the other side.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it would make sense to just pay the premium for Daniel Murphy and just make him one of your building blocks tonight that you do pay up for, because second base is so thin. Looking over at third base now, I mean, Wilmer Flores against the lefty is the most popular chalky DFS platoon play that we have. I don't hate it today. I mean, at 2,300, for the reasons that I mentioned with Walker, of the two, I like Flores better because he's even cheaper, but I expect pretty high ownership rates.
Yeah, no, he's who I had is one of my green lights anyway, so that tells you how much he's chalky. He's got enough patience to take care of more, to take advantage of more in, you know, for the potential wildness. So he's on the list. You mentioned exposure to Trevor Williams. I don't mind Justin Turner. It's a little bit higher price. I don't mind Justin Turner at all, though. Yeah, I do expect some bullpens to come in. Turner hits a bit better against lefties. He obviously can hit against anybody. I don't mind him. And if you like to play the sneaky, I want to steal sort of game, we talked to DeGrom. DeGrom, like most Mets, don't hold runners on very much. So if you can get Eduardo Nunez in there at a cheap price, I don't like to use steals as sort of a something in DFS, but at that price, one bag, he gets his value.
What have you been doing overall with Christian Arroyo? I mean, he's got DeGrom tonight, so maybe he's not in play tonight outside of some GPP crazy contrarian call. But I feel like I'm underestimating him skills-wise, or I'm getting tricked and not really, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not adjusting properly on what Christian Arroyo is doing for the Giants.
Well, we've seen, I don't want to compare him to Carlos Correa and Francisco Lindor, but we have seen a few players of that, you know, ilk, that position, come up and hit for more power, Trey Turner, than they did when they were in the minors. And that's, I come out, forget DFS, and when he comes out, I analyze them. It's like, you know, I love Arroyo as an AT&T hitter because he's a gap hitter. He's going to take advantage of, you know, he's going to hit balls that roll to the wall all day long. And what he's doing, he's putting balls over the fence. So, you were wrong, but I'm glad you were wrong because he's hitting homers. You know, he's not going to keep hitting homers. Oh, he hit another homer. So, to me, he's still – I don't mind him in a San Francisco stack, the rare times that I'll actually do that. But I think we have to be a little bit careful about the power, especially in that park. It won't sustain. On the other hand, he's young enough, and I think he's still projectable, where he's going to grow into the frame a little bit, and I think he will develop more power. But what's he hit so far, 3 or 4?
Three so far, yeah.
Yeah, and I would have projected that. I know 2 are early, but I would have projected, I would have, if he moves up for the whole season, I probably would have projected 8. You know, so it's, yeah. He'll run into some, but I think don't get overboard. I like him in a stack, or I like him in a cash play with the contact if he's in a good situation. Tonight, not so much. But in general, and it's weird, too. I don't know if you've noticed, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think the sites are less aggressive pricing rookies this year. Maybe he doesn't have the pedigree that some of these other rookies, but usually when rookies come up, you just laugh because, they're just priced so high. He was sort of priced reasonably from the get-go.
Yeah, it took Cody Bellinger a long time to get priced up at a level where it's not just an auto.
Well, that's a perfect example. Last year, he would have come up at 4,800.
He definitely would have. At short, for me, it's all about Corey Seager, 3,800.
Yep.
I mean, home against Trevor Williams. If you're going to go anywhere else at short, maybe to get away from Seager because of high ownership concerns, where would you go?
I don't know.
Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you just do it.
Yeah, no, I guess. I mean, we talked, for whatever reason, Brad Miller still has shortstop eligibility unless they've changed it since I downloaded the prices over the weekend.
No, it should still be in there.
Yeah. If he's still shortstop against Carnes, I don't hate that very much. I don't hate that at all. And I suppose you go with Trey Turner against Gausman. You don't have to worry about the platoon at that point. A lot of the good shorts. Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. There is one. The game has to play. But give me Didi Gregorius against Ricky Davis as a swerve.
There you go. It's also
that has to play. The game will play. He has to play.
Yeah, he has to be in there. It's a revenge game for Didi too.
Well, revenge against last night's stats too. Didn't he have? Wasn't he one of the guys that took an 0-for-2 games? He had like an 0-for-8 or 0-for-9.
I think he may have been. So if he's not exhausted from that, then he can maybe deliver. I mean, I guess Tulo against Bowers kind of interesting if Tulo is in there, but I haven't seen anything indicating for sure that he is. So I'd probably hold off on him.
Diaz against Conley isn't terrible.
No, I like Diaz against lefties. I mean, it's not a great environment, but it's good enough on a night like tonight to consider. Cody Bellinger is still cheap, though, Todd. He's 3,300. Whether you're stacking Dodgers or not, he's got to be at least a consideration at that price. It's really just, is it cash versus GPP, where in cash, no problem, but in GPP, you at least think twice about it because the outfield usually has so much depth?
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, we're mixing apples and oranges here. I do some work for our friends in ESPN, and I can't believe that he's not owned in 50% of ESPN leagues yet. It's weird. The hype, he's just, for whatever reason, people are not as excited about rookies as they once were, which blows my mind because I expected it to be huge. And in fact, taking advantage of that. Yeah, I think Bellinger, I think in the DFS field anyway, people know about him, so he will be fairly chalky. But again, on a night like tonight, if you really, really, really like him and you use one of those cheaper pitchers, there's plenty of other places to get differentiation. The guy's starting to run too. Like, we needed something else to be cheering on. He's running a little bit. We knew he could, but he's running a little bit too.
Yeah, and if you look at the expected run output for teams, I think the Dodgers are pretty high tonight. I think the Yankees are one of like two or three teams that are a tick higher, but it's a pretty short list. Looking for some other options in the outfield. I mean, Jock Peterson, he's cheap, assuming he's in there, and he should be against a righty. He's only $2,900, so maybe another way to get some exposure to Trevor Williams at a very affordable price. You look at Chris Davis in Oakland. He's only $3,400 going up against Ricky Nolasco. Kind of like that a little bit. What else do you like in the outfield?
If you're looking for the GPP swing, I don't mind Scott Skebler against Tanaka. We mentioned the home run possibility there. We sort of alluded to Ellsbury and Gardner against rookie Davis as well. You mentioned Peterson, and you know I here I'm saying Tanaka's a decent play, and here I'm about to mention Adam Duvall. I know it's right on right, but sometimes we sort of categorically dismiss right on right, left on left when we shouldn't. Oh, Duvall hits homers, Tanaka gives up homers, so the price is up a little bit, but still it's an interesting area to get a little bit of differentiation if you want to go that route.
Yeah, it's a shade high. I kind of like Randall Grichuk going up against Conley. That's why I don't like Conley. There's enough little pieces I like from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Aside from Conley's own shortcomings, where I'm kind of I like the hitters a little more than I like the arm in this case.
What about Soler, who's back against Blake Snell?
Yeah, that might be reasonably low. And Soler's disappointed enough people for long enough where I don't think there's going to be a rush to use
out of sight, out of mind.
$2,500, only been back for a couple games, so that's kind of a GPP option, I think. Should be near the heart of that lineup that doesn't hit much and is often kind of targeted with opposing pitchers, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah, another play, and he needs to be in the lineup, and I'm not exactly sure what the Mets are doing, but they just brought up Justin Ruggiano, and going against Matt Moore, that could be an interesting play.
Yeah, I would think they would. If they brought him up, they would almost certainly use him because he's got a good track record of handling
against lefties. Yeah.
Lefties, yeah. So kind of wait and see where he ends up being in the lineup. I mean, Ruggiano's with the Giants, so he'd be
with the Giants. I had that backwards. Yes,
He won't play. He probably won't play today. Or if he does, right. You don't want to use him.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I did 9/10 of my homework, but I had a little note next to him. And it wasn't this game. It was to sort of my general DFS tablet, note keeping to keep an eye on him when they go against lefties, because he was just brought up. And San Francisco is they're just cycling through Flotsam and Jetsam to see what sticks. And who knows? Maybe he's the next guy to stick.
Yeah, it's just the kind of thing where he could also pop up a little higher in the order than you'd expect too. For all the left-handed bats, the Mets would want to cycle in and out. I think that's what also. Adds to the appeal of the Giants. Rather, they just don't have
right.
Now I'm flipping them, but the Giants are so thin in the outfield right now. When they're on the road too, and there's a park boost, that would also add to the appeal for a guy like Ruggiano. I think people are just going to overlook the Giants' offense as a whole because it's underperforming. We talked about that on our season long pod. It was definitely a concern coming into the year, but it's been worse than we expected. I think in part because of health.
Yeah. They let go. This is how desperate they are. They let go of Drew Stubbs to bring in Ruggiano.
Yikes. Just yikes. Baseball fans, FanDuel is back, and it's better than ever. It's fantasy baseball for everyday fans. New contests starting every day. No busted seasons. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and compete against other fans. New for this year, they've got the late swap contest. You can edit your players right up to the start of their individual game. No more worrying about a late lineup scratch or weather issues. Non-late swap contests are still available as well. The updated scoring includes quality starts, so you don't have to win hunt quite the same way you used to. And friends mode is out there, too. You can create a league for your friends, choose the days you play each week. Contests are created automatically, plus a leaderboard will keep track of how you all do against each other. I'm trying to have a Vlad Sedler kind of night. It hasn't happened for me.
Talk about a heater. The man's on a heater.
He crushed it on Friday. Just a monster performance from Vlad, so congrats to him. Have all that fantasy baseball has to offer. FanDuel, be sports rich. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. Special offer for new users. Deposit today and you get a free 6-month subscription to RotoWire plus 5 free entries up to $50 in value. Try a variety of sports on FanDuel. It's FanDuel.com/RW. Todd, thanks for jumping in and pitch hitting today for Mario, and look forward to doing the season-long pod with you at coming up on Wednesday.
Yep, looking forward to it too, Derek. Good luck on the leaderboard tonight.
All right, you too. Thanks for listening to the RotoWire DFS pod. Joe and Todd are back with you for Tuesday.